If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Yo.
All righty, everybody. Buckle up for the wild ride that is.
Where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Charge is battling a bloody nose, and he did not even skate a single shift in the wild game. Oh, beauty. I did not sing it today. Figured I'd take a week off. Charge, are you okay bloody nose-wise?
Well, I'm actively bleeding, but it's not a gusher at this stage, which is good. But I'm on Kleenex 4 right now. There's got to be a better way to do this. I mean, I just always... When this happens, I just jam a Kleenex up my nose. There should be.
Can you do this interview laying down? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
There you go. Just lay on your back.
Legs elevated. Right. No, head elevated. Head elevated, right?
Yes. Actually, it's a good question. I think you want to tilt your head back without laying down. How about that?
Oh, maybe that's.
Okay. So you don't want the blood rushing to your head.
Yeah.
But you do want your nose to be tilted back. So yeah,
right. Is it better to have the blood come out the nose and into like the back, into the palate of your throat, or forward where it goes down into your face? There's not really a win condition here. It's a lose-lose, I think.
Go get a tampon from your wife's cabinet and jam it up nose. There. That's the way my friend.
That was in a movie. Somebody did that.
Well, they make nose tampons for boxers, essentially. Cotton swabs that they jam up there. Yeah, that sucks. And no rhyme, no reason why this came on.
No, it's just Minnesota, right? So it's dry. It's dry Minnesota. Air. One of the many beautiful things about Minnesota. It's dry, dry air. And I battle this all winter where I just go to blow my nose and all of a sudden, blood.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Lucky me.
All right. That said, before we get going here, because you're gonna lobby tomorrow in front, or you're gonna speak. Where are you speaking tomorrow?
Well, this is a lobbying trip at the state capitol.
You're going to the state capitol. Mr. Yes. Charchian goes to St. Paul. Yes.
That's right.
Got it right. To lobby on behalf of legalized sports gambling in the great state of Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, and still no legal sports gambling.
Correct. So we're down to, I think, 14 states that don't have it, and we're one of them because...
Wisconsin's another one.
No, Wisconsin's got it.
Oh, you're right. They got the Indian casino. Yeah, brick and mortar, right.
It's brick and mortar, which is a bummer, honestly. I mean, you know, look, it's better than nothing, and it's nice you can drive to Ho-Chunk and get your wager on.
Yeah,
you know, it's better than nothing. I have to drive to Wisconsin if I want to do that. I got to drive to Iowa if I want to do that. There is a casino on the border of Minnesota and Iowa called Diamond Joe's. That's where all the Minnesotans, you know, that in the bottom half of the state all flood down to Diamond Joe's. So anyway, what we're trying to do is get it legalized here, but the tribes have basically exclusivity in this state on all matters gambling.
That's similar to Wisconsin. So you throw them a bone by giving them the brick and mortar rights to start, and then you just keep gently working behind the scenes to knock that wall down before they even know what's happening. That's the way
That was the hope, right? Is to be something like that. But the bill we're trying to get passed would be mobile. The tribes would get all the revenue for it, along with the associated vendors like DraftKings, FanDuel, and, you know, BetMGM that are secretly powering all those games, right?
Of course.
They would be,
yes.
Yeah. So they, you know, tribes don't want to get in.
You just want to have the joy of seeing several Vikings suspended for half the year, like the Lions just had. I mean, seriously, I would be, if I was a Lions fan, in addition to being, a Lions fan, I'd be so pissed off right now. I would say to myself, you're fucking kidding me. One of our best players, our wide receiver, Williams, is out for 6 games just because he bet on some other stupid sport from within the facility? The fuck?
Right. I know. I don't see why this facility is so sacrosanct that, you know, it's because they're... You don't want to have the appearance that the Lions headquarters is a gambling ring. Who cares where you bet? If you're not betting on the NFL, what's the problem?
Yeah, well, how many years ago was it the infamous Tony Romo fantasy football
About
convention
in Vegas? 8 to 10 years ago, yeah.
That many? 8 to 10? I thought it was more like 5 or 6.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, for those who don't know, Romo is going to have a big highfalutin fantasy football conference in August out in Vegas at a casino/hotel, or more like a resort, I guess, and they had a casino attached to it, just attached. And
yes,
the NFL swooped in and said, you can't do this because it brushes up against legalized gambling in the state. Therefore, if you do it, you're going to be in big trouble, and the whole thing got collapsed.
Correct. That's exactly right. And now, look, the NFL has teams in Las Vegas, right? You got a whole team headquartered there. And right. we had the NFL sued Tony Romo for just having a fantasy convention in town. Unbelievable.
2015, 8. Ding. 2015, the event was canceled. Nearly 100 NFL players scheduled to attend Romo's National Fantasy Football Convention in Vegas. Yes, the NFL, in the span of 8 years, has gone from that to embracing gambling full bore across the board. I liken it to, it'd be like going from preacher's daughter to OnlyFans account in 8 short years. What the hell happened to you? What are you doing right now?
You know what happened? Money happened. That's what happened.
Exactly.
There's so much, you know, the NFL never figured out directly how to monetize fantasy. They made a ton of money off fantasy indirectly through their broadcasting rights because we're all watching a ton of football. So, I mean, they figured that part out, but they never figured out how to directly monetize it. Now, with all these casinos and all the money from sports gambling, that was real easy.
Yeah.
So that became, you know, that got to be an easy one to
back. They're getting a direct skim now. I remember the NFL's briefly floated trial balloon, which is hilarious to even let you people know about this if you've not heard this story. At one point, the NFL floated this idea. Hey, our statistics from these games are proprietary. Therefore, you'll have to pay us to use them.
Yeah,
they actually tried to argue that, and it went over about as well as you would expect, like a fart in an elevator. People said, yeah, you're high. Go to bed.
Yep. 2005, we had a big fantasy industry conference, and the NFL and the NFLPA, they all show up, and they just start suing everybody at the conference. It was like, you know, you've got to be kidding me.
Really?
You guys don't own stats. Yeah, God, come on.
I know.
Yes.
But that's how insatiable the league is. So now they're full bore on gambling, and I just, you know, from your standpoint, you don't operate a gambling entity.
No, not fantasy. Not, you know, we think there's a very big distinction between fantasy and gambling. Most of your listeners won't, because it's a very nuanced discussion, but that's part of what we talk to legislators about, is helping them understand how fantasy is different from gambling.
And I remember when you told me several years ago when this was all coming about, and I asked, is this not a direct mortal threat to your business, fantasy football? You said calmly, no, I think it's a tide that lifts all boats. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, we've got a lot of data around that says exactly that. It's fantasy. Gambling has not hurt fantasy at all. And it's just really expanding the people that want to play and engage with their sports outside of just watching TV. So
it's complicated gambling is what fantasy is.
It's skillful. It's very, skillful, very highly skilled gambling.
Yes. Yeah. Social. Well, you know what else it is? It's social gambling. Like, you don't have point spread leagues where you get together with your buddies from college, but you do in fantasy.
Well, when you say point spread leagues,
most gambling is done in solitude, whereas fantasy requires a socialization that is the wonderfulness of a fantasy league.
A traditional fantasy league, that's true. Daily fantasy is more of an individual thing where it's you playing against other people. But still, one of the key differences, when you're placing a bet, it's you against the house. When I go to DraftKings and I play a DFS-style game, it's still me and a bunch of other people playing against each other, and DraftKings is effectively a matchmaker for that. My bet isn't against the house in that case. So that's also a key. That's also a key distinction.
It's like parimutuel betting in horse racing.
A little bit closer to that. No odds, no real-time odds change. Although people have tried that style in fantasy, which I'm interested in.
So tomorrow, will you stand at a podium in front of legislators?
Not in this case. I'm not speaking in front of a committee. That would be that. I have done that in the past. I'm not doing that this time. This is door knocking on senators' doors, trying to make sure that they don't apply. This is a problem in my industry, and I'm sorry if this is boring.
No, I'm asking you about it, and I'm fascinated. Door knocking meaning their office doors in the state house.
Yep, office doors for the Senate. I'm going to the Senate. Office doors in the Senate.
You're trick-or-treating in the state house.
That's right.
Why don't you dress up? Maybe they'll give you their 5 minutes of time if you're dressed up like the clown, Pennywise.
Oh, God.
Yes, dress up like Pennywise. You'd be like, hi, I'd like to talk to you about gambling.
Yes. There is a dress code effectively, right?
Yeah,
every single guy has got the button-up shirt. You have to have the jacket. 50% have the tie, 50% don't have the tie. And this is everybody in it. So this is the legislators themselves, but also all the lobbyists and everybody's doing business. You have to dress that way. And so this is the one time year where I get to break out the sport coat, which you don't get very often.
Yeah, well, you guys have standards, which I appreciate. I mean, it's not like it's the U.S. Senate where you can be John Fetterman, come back from 60 days and, a psych clinic and wear shorts and a fucking hoodie. You've got standards in Minnesota. Okay, so you're going to go knock on doors and try to help edumacate these lawmakers on why this is not the end of the world to allow legalized mobile sports wagering in the great state of Minnesota.
Yes, with a side dish of... Do not regulate fantasy companies the way you're regulating casinos, right?
Oh.
You know, guillotine leagues should not be facing the same regulatory hurdles as Caesars. So, that's the other part of this, is trying to make sure that the fantasy companies don't get roped in the same way the betting companies do, which is a problem we have in a lot of states right now.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck to you. I was going to say, with this nosebleed situation, if you were speaking tomorrow, I would want you to, if you got a nosebleed while speaking, to not even flinch. Don't even reach for a handkerchief. Just let the blood run out over your face, onto your white shirt and tie, and stand there and tell the legislators, I will bleed for my cause. Look at my face.
Literally.
Sir.
Mr. Charchian, please. You're welcome to take a break, Mr. Charchian, please.
No, I will bleed for this.
Sergeant at arms, sergeant at arms, clear this man.
Take him away. Okay, I want to run this by you because the NFL draft is coming up, and you being not only a man who loves football and has followed the NFL and is very sharp in these matters, but you're a man of fantasy, and so you know about sort of the game theory a lot of times when it comes to drafting players. Now, of course, you know, you and I and everyone does it in fantasy, which is a whole lot different than the NFL, but it's also a lot the same. Like, there's differences, but I think there's also similarities. So I wanted to run this by you. I did this to Andy yesterday, and I will see if you have any additions, caveats, or thoughts on my Zabe's Guide to Drafting Well in the NFL. It's a 10-point guide. It's very simple. You ready?
Yeah.
Number
10
one.
Points.
Number
oh
one.
My God.
More is better. Always better. Remember, this is a crapshoot.
No, that is patently false. Can we take him one at a time?
Yes, I'm waiting for comment.
Okay, good.
Why
All
is,
good.
Why is more? Here's, why is more draft
have,
picks not
I have
better?
Tangible proof. Tangible proof. Why? Here in Minnesota, our general manager for 10 years, Rick Spielman, did nothing but trade down to accumulate picks. He would turn second rounders into 2/4, and then he turned those 2/4 into 6th, 7th rounders. So, those guys never pan out.
Well, okay.
Your hit rate your hit rate goes down by 50% every round.
Yeah.
I
grant you that you
better.
Shouldn't take a bunch of boulders and smash them down into pebbles.
Correct.
Okay. Number two, don't obsess about drafting for need. You need two of everything.
Yeah, that's the sensible thing, right? To not be caught in the moment and just take the best players, because so many times that first guy who you thought was going to be a stalwart in there for years to come, doesn't work out for whatever reason. Could be a contract, could be an injury, could be all the things that can go wrong, especially in the NFL where you can't count on player longevity. So that is the sensible thing to do. Teams don't do that. I mean, all that said, everybody knows it. But at the end of the day, when you're a general manager on a short leash, knowing that you're a 4-win season away from losing your job, you got to plug the holes you got, and they do that. That's just the reality of it.
All right, number three. If you aren't 1,000% sure you've got your quarterback, keep taking him.
Every year. Not only unless you have a young franchise quarterback, unless you have Joe Burrow, then every year you are drafting a quarterback in the hopes that you hit on your next quarterback. You should always be drafting your next one until you have the young franchise guy.
Number four, my guide to drafting well in the NFL. Leading up to and during the draft, turn off ESPN. It's full of nothing but lies, speculation, and nonsense.
Now, are you saying all sports or ESPN in particular? All sports channels? Can
ESPN
I watch the NFL Network?
ESPN in particular, but also NFL Network. You got agents putting stuff out there purposely to try to rock the boat, roil the waters, get things going. It's not going to help you draft well.
Excellent use of the word royal. I applaud you for using royal. Well, that is
a good word,
and correctly at that. And yes, but.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Charge.
Oh, hold on. My car picked it up.
Okay, that was weird. I'm going to call Charge back right now. Oh, my God. All right, here we go. All right, let's see if Church picks up now. Hello?
Damn it.
Do you know what happened? Some woman said, I'm sorry, but my car Bluetooth picked up this connection.
What the hell is that?
No shit, right?
What?
It could be me. I'm sitting here perched on the 21st floor of the monogamous one bedroom in the sky overlooking Lake Michigan here in Milwaukee. And any car passing below me with a strong enough Bluetooth maybe could have reached up here. Wouldn't have been you, though.
Weird. I mean, Bluetooth is a one-to-one discrete connection. Somebody can't break into your Bluetooth connection like they can a party line on the phones that we had in the 1970s.
I remained rolling during that interlude. And it is now part of the podcast, and
wow,
people can listen to it, and you can hear what that sounded like. I didn't even bother to ask her, who are you? How'd you get a hold of this line? I was just like, dump, I got to get charged back on, because we were talking about the word royal, and I was about to give him the definition, to make a liquid turbid or muddy by disturbing the sediment or to make somebody annoyed or irritated. To roil. R-O-I-L. Okay, there's your word of the day.
Nicely done. Not R-O-Y-A-L, unless it happens that you're at that time, like, literally boiling King Charles. I mean, that would be the one case. Now, but back to the ESPN thing very shortly. I love the drama. I like all the nonsense. I like everything that goes with it, even though I know it's all, most of it is crap and filler and BS, but it's fun, Zabe. At the end of the day, I'm here for the drama.
Listen, I say this as a team, as a GM, as an executive, they should turn off ESPN.
That is true.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, number five. The combine is a waste of time. Show up for the free shirt, then leave.
Not true. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's a waste of time. You get actual, you get real measurables. The game film is way, way more important. But you get getting real measurables on people is important. Some quarterback you like has got an 8-inch finger span. That's a big, that is a big verifiable problem. I have an 8-inch wingspan.
Speaking as a guy who suffered through Teddy Hamburger Gloves hands, yes, Bridgewater.
And Dante Culpepper, who fumbled every fifth snap. You know, yes, there's some point at which you still need that data. And plus, I love going to the combine, so I'm not going to denigrate.
Number six, it's never a bad idea to shop from the big boys. Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, etc.
Yeah, I'm a believer in that. Tony Dungy was a believer in that. That was one of his big drafting things when he was in Tampa and Indy. Was, we want guys that have competed at the highest level in the biggest spots against the best people. So when we're watching those that tape, we know we're getting the closest thing to NFL comparables, and that's true. And that's why you see, you know, OSU is going to have four players taken in the first round. Georgia's going to have four players in the first round. Alabama's going to have four players in the first round.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin is a legit WR1 for the Commanders. Why'd he go in the third round? He was buried. He was buried at Ohio State. Didn't get nearly enough looks because there was a lot of good players there. Number seven, lower your fans' expectations of the draft. Remind them these are just seven players out of 53 at most.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That does not work, Zabe. I mean, fans love this, right?
I know.
So I'm going to be broadcasting live from US Bank Stadium.
Of course.
And the official Vikings draft party. There's going to be like 8,000 people on the field for this.
I mean, because you're part of the DIC, the Draft Industrial Complex, the DIC. Don't underestimate the DIC. The DIC is huge, and the DIC moves the needle. The Draft Industrial Complex. Number eight, these are recommendations for teams and GMs to draft well in the NFL. Number eight, always try to nail your first rounders. Guys who will play right away, be starters for 5 years. Anything above that is gravy. But nail your first rounders. Starters right away, 5 years.
This is why I move up in the draft. I'm not the numbers. I am go up in the draft far enough that you have to go so you can take the guy you think is going to hit that, Zabe, that's going to be a five-year starter that you're going to want to give a second contract to. Move up as far up as you have to go to get those guys if they're not going to fall to you in the first round. Vikings pick at 23. Your team picks at 15. Packers pick at 15, I think. They, you know, if your guy's not there, is not going to be there, go up. Do what it takes.
All right, number nine. When one of your picks turns out to suck, don't delay the inevitable. Cut bait and move on.
Yeah, look at the Eagles with Jalen Reagor. They're like, well, we could have had Justin Jefferson. We took Jalen Reagor. you know what? Let's just get it over with and tear the Band-Aid off now.
What's he doing for you guys?
Nothing.
Okay.
He returned a couple of kicks, which he mostly fumbled, and it
got a touchdown
like
in the playoffs,
passes.
Though, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Whatever happened to Laquan Treadwell from Mississippi State or Ole Miss?
Yeah, that one hurt because they passed on Michael Thomas to take Laquan Treadwell. Oops. And, he muddled around for about three seasons. Dude's still in the league. That's the amazing thing about Laquan Treadwell. He is the exact definition of a journeyman.
Yeah. And then finally, number 10, my guide to drafting well in the NFL. Always let your dog make at least one pick. It's karma. Bill Belichick's Akita sitting in front of the laptop is flat out iconic fire.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the best moments in draft history. And the amazing thing is the dog can't be any worse than Bill Belichick is as a drafter.
Okay.
This is
talk about this because you have correctly noted. Don't ignore the look at the man behind the curtain. These guys don't draft well, the Patriots.
The person who has hurt Bill Belichick more than any other person is general manager Bill Belichick, has hurt head coach Bill Belichick. It's an unmitigated disaster by any calculus. It's awful how bad they draft.
What is the common theme of why they're missing on guys? Is there one, or what are they doing that makes them bad?
Well, they're not hitting at all on their early picks, which is a big problem for them. Allow me to give you a couple of recent examples, if I can, of the kinds of results that they have managed to put out that have been basically a disaster here. Franchise history drafts. Here it comes, Zabe, right now. So last year, you'll remember the many contributions of Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton and Marcus Jones.
Cole Strange. All right.
Yes. Before that, it was Mac Jones, who looks like he's going to wash out. He may not even be the starter this year. Christian Barmore, Ronnie Perkins. Before that, Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, Afferny Jennings. I mean, these guys cannot hit on their early picks. N'Keal Harry, first round wide receiver, long off the team. Jawan Williams. I mean, it's just disaster grade drafting for the Patriots.
Trying to think who was their best draft pick, single best draft pick the last 5-6 years. Now, one would argue, well, they're picking last in the first round every year almost.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because they have traded down and accumulated multiples. And I think they've had some in the middle of the first round.
Yes. In fact, Mac Jones was pick 15. So that certainly counts. They got Ramondre Stevenson in the fourth round. That's a win.
Yep.
They got, man, this is a tough assignment.
But fourth round though, like I want to know the first round pick of the Patriots under Belichick, where you're like, oh, that guy is an ass kicker right there. Holy shit. They got a monster.
None. So here's their first round picks in the last, say, decade. Cole Strange last year, Mac Jones not working out. Then N'Keal Harry. We're back to 2019.
Why not? I'll guess at the position to see whether I, a slightly better than casual fan, can even guess what position, much less what school they played at. Right. Go ahead, next.
All right, so here you go. It's 2018, so I've already given you all the others. They had two first round picks, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Walkman.
Oh, yeah. Sony Michel was from Georgia, running back.
Yes.
He was great in fucking college.
He was.
But that doesn't matter in the pros. And then Isaiah Wynn was a defensive end?
He was an offensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
Also from Georgia.
Well, there goes my, don't be afraid to shop with the big boys. Disregard that previous 10 minutes. Okay, next.
So they didn't have a first round pick because, as you mentioned correctly, they tended to trade down a lot. 2015, Malcolm Brown.
D tackle.
That's right. D tackle. If you can get where from, I'll be very impressed.
Let's see. He was from Vanderbilt.
Texas. Good guess. Before that, Dominique Easley.
Safety.
Defensive tackle.
I was thinking Kenny Easley. First Easley that came to mind. The hitman.
Yep, and I'm going to go all the way back to 2012 because this is their last hit in the first round, is 11 years ago, Zabe. Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
The last true hit that they've had.
Arizona? Defensive end?
He played for the Cardinals last year, which might be confusing you, but Syracuse.
He's a Syracuse guy. Okay. All right. Yeah. So with that as a backdrop, let me give you my unified Rodgers take on the Tuesday now before the NFL draft.
Ooh, all right.
It's basically this. What are you trying to do, Brian Gutekunst? Well, I want to get fair value for a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, come on now. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Question, who else wants him? Well, I mean, nobody now, but that's just because he already said he's going to the Jets. Oh, okay, well, you sure anyone else has the cap space for that giant albatross of a contract that mm-hmm. you signed? Are you sure other teams are all gung-ho to get into the dark yurt-serting, ayahuasca-snorting weird ball that is Aaron Rodgers, as good as he may be at spinning it? Well, I think that's overblown. Okay, fine. Are you prepared for the nuclear option of having to carry that huge contract and put him off to the side this fall if this deal falls apart and nobody else steps forward? Well, it's not going to get to that. Besides, that's many months away. Oh, yeah? Well, those months will come. Mm-hmm. I am reasonably certain that the day will come. And if this falls apart, you're kind of fucked. So what are you trying to do, Brian Gutekunst? I think if you were to give him truth serum or at least four beers, he would say, I could get a deal for two twos right now. A two this year from the Jets and next year's two with a condition to slide it up if it's really good for the Jets, like they make the playoffs or they go to the AFC title game or Rodgers plays multiple years, or slide it down if he retires and goes back into a yurt. We'd have to flip him a third round. Two twos is doable tomorrow. Would you agree with that, by the way?
It seems fair, and I would think the Jets would take that, and okay. I don't think you could get more with that. That's kind of the max.
Okay, so two twos. So, Goody, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to bend one of the twos into a one. Oh, okay, well, how's that going? So far, not great. Okay, so, Goody, let's zoom out here, and let me just put this into real-life terms. You're trying to bend a two in Josh Myers into a one in Eric Stokes. Stokes, who has become a liability at corner for the Packers.
Yes.
Are you trying to bend a two in A.J. Dillon, who I think is a lovable but overrated power back, into a one in Jordan Love, who is still a mystery guy? Are you trying to bend a two in Elgton Jenkins into a one that's Darnell Savage, safety, who is now a clearly worse player than Jenkins, who you just poured more money into? That's the other way around. Are you trying to bend a Josh Jones into a Kevin King, both second-round picks? No, because they both sucked, and they're not on the team anymore. I could go on and on down the list. I could say, are you trying to bend Davante Adams a second into Ha-Ha Clinton Dix a first? Oh, that's right. Davante Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the game. And Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is a punchline now. He had a brief couple of good seasons. Do you get my point? Wrap it up, Goody, and let's move on. Because these picks are crapshoots. That's what it is. You get obsessed about, I got to get a one. You got to wrap it up.
Yes.
Time's up.
Yes.
Wrap it up. Get done with it. And let's be moving on to the Jordan Love era.
I think you've reached a point where you take what you can get there. Well, there's one more opportunity, right? So, well, there, two more. You've got draft day. So you've got a draft day opportunity to move Rodgers.
Yep.
If during the draft something happens and, you know, the draft doesn't fall right for some team and they need to make a move on Friday, then you do it. And then the others right after the draft, some team that wanted to come out of the draft with a quarterback didn't work out. And now they have a certain level of desperation. But after that, like by Monday, you're stuck. You're stuck if Monday you're not moving. You're not moving him. Once the draft's over, you've got zero leverage left. So it's you got to take what you can get within the next week. You have to take the best deal you can get.
Not only that, but did you ever you saw the movie? You saw the Austin Powers movies, right?
I did. I thought the first one in particular was very good.
Okay. So remember when Dr. Evil sleeps with Frau, and then afterwards he says, it got weird. It got weird. So you if I was the Packers, I would worry about after the draft the Dr. Frau effect of, you know, we thought it'd be a boss move to go, well, fuck you, you're not getting Rodgers. We're going to go do our draft, and then you wake up on Monday. It got weird. Now the mood is different, right? The feeling is different. The world looks different. The calendar looks different. God forbid the Jets decide, like Dr. Evil, yeah, I don't want this. It's weird now.
Because now it's your weird. Now you're stuck with the weird.
Yeah, now, and maybe it won't be weird. Maybe they'll be right where they were. But the draft can tend to be one of those, I finally slept with her. Now I woke up and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to have to go to her sister's baby shower. She's going to want me to come over to Thanksgiving. Fuck, I don't want all this. I just wanted to sleep with her. It got weird. Okay, I'm going to end
this,
on.
Is this at all like your buddy's got a hot girlfriend, but she's psycho and he complains about her all the time. And eventually they break up. And then you go bang the hot girlfriend, hot ex-girlfriend, only to find out, yeah, she's just as nuts as he said.
Right. Or nuts. Or maybe she looks hot in a bar, but in bed, no game, can't play.
No game, can't bring it.
Sort of like draft picks. So you see the tape in college, you're like, this guy's going to be great. And then you get him to the pros, you're like, wow, he's not very good at all, actually. What's up with that? All right, I'm going to end on this. A little game called Overrated, Underrated. There is no rated. Everything I'm going to run by you is either over or underrated.
There is no properly rated. Got it.
No, absolutely not. And this is a very sophisticated radio bit that I'm sure has never been done by anybody.
It is done exactly by name by one of my friends here in town.
Okay. Who does it on your station?
Chad Hartman. And that is the son of Sid Hartman, who you may be familiar with. And his bit is called Properly Rated.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, I'm glad I'm stealing a bit. I didn't even know it was his bit, but I'm stealing it. Here we go. Aurora Borealis, which was briefly visible last night as far north as Green Bay.
It's gorgeous, and I've seen it in real life. Really just one time where it's dipped down far enough to come to the Twin Cities.
So it's under.
Awe-inspiring.
Underrated.
Under, vastly.
Okay.
Vastly. It's like the Grand Canyon. You can see the pictures. But until you're there, looking at it out of your own two eyes, you can't understand how awesome it is.
Overrated, underrated, curly fries.
Underrated because you have to go to Arby's to get them.
What do they got the patent on these things? Nobody else can offer curly fries?
I love the seasoning is outstanding. They're crispy on the outside, tender on the inside. It's just that
how about straight curly fries without the curls? It's the same thick coated, spice coated fry.
Even better because sometimes the curl does not separate enough and they can get mushy in the middle when they're stuck together.
Okay. Overrated, underrated, the movie Wedding Singer. Adam Sandler.
Haven't seen it since the theater, but I enjoyed it at the time. So I'm going to go underrated.
Okay. Overrated, underrated, leather pants on hot women. Underrated. Underrated. Love the leather pants on a hot woman.
Nine times out of 10, the woman wearing the leather pants should not be wearing the leather pants, but if they actually fit her, I'm in.
Okay. Overrated, underrated, hooded sweatshirts.
I wear hooded sweat. I'm wearing one right now.
Underrated.
I love them.
Okay.
Underrated, and especially here in Minnesota when I find myself outside with the dogs for a while and I need to flip that hood up. I'm telling you, all of a sudden you get your body just gained 20 degrees. You flip the hood up. It's a great deal. I love the utility.
All right. Take off, Hoser. We'll talk next week. Thanks, buddy.
You're the best.
See ya. Everybody's gone. You see you. Come back. I won't let him do it again. My fault was, your fault. You're such a hoser. There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, Hoser. Okay, that's fine. I'll do a...